is the part of the day when we do our breakout sessions. And I just want to remind you where the breakouts are. Right here on this stage is Citizen Action and Local Control to Save Our Natural Resources. Defending our clean water, air, and land is still achievable. In Wisconsin, citizens are organizing to prevent or minimize the damage from activities of frack sand mining and industrial livestock operations. These champions are making a difference in their communities by using existing laws of citizen participation and local control to protect our natural resources. If you want to come to that breakout, please stay right here for Mary Doherty, Sarah Lloyd, Luann Roby, and Bonnie Vance. Over those two big tents, the red and white striped tent, Fighting Colonialism in Black America, a conversation about combating a long and lasting history of oppression and inequality. Please join Young, Gifted, and Black Coalition and Kevin Alexander Gray, a long and lasting history of oppression and inequality. Please join Young, Gifted, and Black Coalition and Kevin Alexander Gray to connect the dots from slavery to Jim Crow, featuring Matthew Bronigan, Brandy Grayson, Kevin Alexander Gray, and moderator Alan Ruff in the red and white striped tent. In the white tent, right next door there, taking the politics out of women's health. Since Governor Walker has taken office, the full range of reproductive health services provided by safety net providers like Planned Parenthood to men and women in Wisconsin have been a political target. A total of 12 policies that take away essential reproductive health care join continued efforts to defund these reproductive health centers that would cut tens of thousands of people off from critical preventive care. Politics has no place in the doctor's own health care decisions. Ability to make their own health care decisions. Vera Austin, Victoria Boucher, and Lisa Ann under the white tent. And finally, please join our celebrated author, Nancy Unger, the chief historian in the United States of Fighting Bob La Follette and Belcaise La Follette. She has a brand new book out on Belcaise La Follette. She is in room 3, which, as you come in the gate over here, there's a door under that grandstand, and she is going to be talking about Belcaise La Follette, an essential chapter in the history of American feminism. Belcaise, a brilliant visionary crusader for women's rights, racial equality, and world peace, and progressive reform, featuring Nancy Unger. She came in that main gate under the grandstand. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you back here after the breakout sessions.
Hello, everyone. I'm testing out the microphone here. Can people hear me? Okay, excellent. Well, thank you for coming to the breakout session on local control, citizen action around natural resource and environmental issues. I'm going to do some introductions of who we have here on the stage with us at the breakout, and then we will hear some of the fights that are going on in Wisconsin right now around natural resources and citizen action. We are a little bit shorter on the time, so we'll see if we can do some Q&A. If not, Wisconsin Farmers Union, Midwest Environmental Advocates, Family Farm Defenders, Farms Not Factories, everyone who wants to continue the conversation to come over to our info tables and we can take questions and continue the conversation, especially if you are fighting an individual fight in your neighborhood and would like to find out more about resources and strategies. That probably is a better forum. But what we want to do is share today and take advantage of the people power that we have here. So I will tell you, my name is Sarah Lloyd. I work for the Wisconsin Farmers Union. My husband and I dairy farm up outside the Wisconsin Dells. And what's really important about this breakout session is that Fighting Bob Fest started because of citizen action around local control issues of natural resources. So raise your hand if you're in the audience and you were part of the Perrier-Nestle battle in Columbia County, Marquette, Adams. So you may know that there were brave people who decided to take on the multinational of Perrier-Nestle and kick them out of the state. And the only reason that we were able to do that is because citizens came together and demanded control at the town and county level, but we also needed to bring in legal assistance to support the communities and protect the environment. And Ed Garvey was the lawyer, among other attorneys, who helped out. So a shout out to Ed, because we're here because Ed Garvey started BobFest and has supported countless local fights around the state. And so, you know, I feel this is a really great breakout and is really at the core of what Fighting BobFest is. So, very glad that you're all here. I want to introduce to you who is on stage with us so that we can hear about the battles that they're fighting. Let me just, so I don't forget any important details. Okay, so we've got folks from around the state that have traveled here to Madison to be with us. Mary Doherty is here on my left. And we'll hear from Mary. Mary is from Bayfield, Wisconsin, and she is a founder of Farms Not Factories. So you may know, and you'll hear some more now, there is a large factory farm business from Iowa that wants to site a 26,000 hog operation in the Lake Superior Basin. And what do we say when people come up with ridiculous ideas like that? No! But Mary and her fellow citizens up there could use your help, and she's gonna tell us about the struggle up there and what they're doing and what we all can do to help them out. Luann Roby? Yes. Roby, sorry, Roby. Is here from Buffalo County. Luann is a local activist and writer, and she has been working on the fight against the frac sand mines in Buffalo County. So she ran for local office and was elected to the county board. So she's gonna talk to us about the way that they've been strategically working to fight the frac sand mines in Buffalo County. And then we have Bonnie Vance here. She's holding on to her poster so it doesn't blow away. Bonnie is here from Jackson County, from the town of Cleveland, and they are also fighting frac sand mines in Jackson County. Yes. And so Bonnie has been working with the local citizens that are coming together. They're trying to work with the town government and the county and fight against the frac sand operators that are coming in. So we're gonna take some time to hear about each of the cases and so that you can understand some of the details of what people are fighting. We all got together and had a conference call yesterday, and what we really wanted to think about is what are the mechanisms that people are using in the local fight, but also, you know, are there things that folks that are here from Madison or other parts of the state or either even other parts of the country can do to help out? Because unfortunately, these guys are fighting the brush fires, and we need them to fight the brush fire. But obviously, there's much larger forces that are driving these terrible plans for extraction and fouling our natural resources and environment. So we need everybody in the fight, and we are the people we have been waiting for. So you are the right people to be here. So I'm going to hand the mic over to Mary Doherty, and she's going to spend some time telling you about the fight up in Bayfield.
Hi, everyone. My name's Mary Doherty. Thank you. Hold it to my face. I know, I'm not used to the whole microphone thing. So I'm going to start with when this whole issue, we've got a hog capo that wants to move into Bayfield County, 26,000 hogs. And before, up until a year ago, I never even dreamed I'd be in front of you all at Fighting BobFest. And so I thought, well, what's this fight really about? And I really think it comes down to community and defending our homes against industry and corporations that are not part of our community. They're not good neighbors. They're not people that we would want to be neighbors. And so I always start these little talks with a great little couple paragraphs from an author named Terry Tempest Williams about community. She says, "It just may be that the most radical act we can commit is to stay home. What does that mean, to fully commit to a place, to a people, to a community? It doesn't mean that it's easy, but it does mean you can live with patience because you are not going away. It also means commitment to bear witness and engaging in casserole diplomacy by sharing food among neighbors, by playing with the children, and mending feuds and caring for the sick. These kinds of commitment are real. They're tangible. They're not esoteric or idealistic, but rooted in the bedrock existence of where we choose to maintain our lives. That way, we begin to know the predictability of a place. We anticipate a species long before we see them. We can chart the changes because we have a memory of cycles and seasons. We gain a capacity for both pleasure and pain, and we find the strength within ourselves and each other to hold these lines. That's my definition of family, and that's my definition of love. So when you take something like that that Terry wrote, and you contrast it against a guy from Iowa who's decided that he wants to move his farrowing facility, which is a breeding facility for 7,500 sows, and he wants to move into our community and put 9 million gallons of manure in the Lake Superior Basin that's going to be injected into clay soils, and we're talking about 10% of the world's fresh water, it's a stupid idea, right? Who thinks that? I mean, it's just a dumb idea. Yet, he has regulatory and legislative right, thanks to Governor Doyle in 2006. And so you got to think, well, now what? You know, what do we do? And I think that what we do is we define our values and we define our line and we stand on that line. And we don't have to explain how we're going to do it because it's an organic process. This whole organic, I mean, I know nothing about community organizing except what I've done in the past year. And what I've been able to figure out is that you don't need a roadmap, you just need to stand up. And there's no silver bullet. You know, people, they want to know, I think that we have a system now that tells us we were looking for the one person, the one man, the one woman that's going to say, I got this, don't worry. Well, guess what, that doesn't work. Because look where we are, we have a lot of people, we've got a lot of supposed silver bullets in Madison and Washington, and they've done nothing. A lot of them have done nothing. Because the system's predicated on all of our involvement. And we all have to be involved, and we all have to constantly be vigilant in defending our homes and defending our communities against something that's, it's just a dumb idea. I can't even believe I'm talking about 26,000 hogs in Lake Superior Basin. That's just, it doesn't make any sense. So just to run through some of the stuff that, Rikes came in Bayfield County, so we got everyone all riled up pretty early on, thanks to the help of Midwest Environmental Advocates and another group called Socially Responsible Agriculture Project. And those groups, when they come in, I'm so thankful that we called them from the beginning, really early on in the fight, because I knew nothing about this business. I have 5 kids. I, owned a restaurant. I know nothing about hog farms, other than I didn't really like to eat factory farm meat. So you need to get people in the early part of the fight to help you, to give you the framework, to provide you the cover so you have enough courage to stand up. Because no one likes to identify yourself as the woman or the man that's going to decide that Big Ag is going to come into your crosshairs. I mean, that's not a whole lot of fun. So you have to make sure that you get good people to help you in the beginning, and we had that with Socially Responsible Agriculture Project and Midwest Environmental Advocates. And so we started using the good old citizen advocacy tools of petitions. We started a petition in Bayfield County asking for our supervisors to pass a moratorium. And we got about 3,300 signatures on that one. Thankfully, speaking of Perrier, just by the crazy way the universe works, Glenn Stoddard, who used to work with Ed Garvey, he is a good friend of mine and he lives in Bayfield, so he has been really instrumental in helping us. He knows, he's got a pretty good idea of how this game is played. So then the next thing we did was we started another petition to ask the DNR to do an EIS. And we had about 6,500 signatures on that one. And that's when I realized that our CAFO fight, we have an enormous, powerful ally on our side, and it's Lake Superior. Lake Superior holds a really special place in a lot of people's hearts. And there's a lot of communities and counties in Wisconsin that don't have the advantage of having 10% of the world's fresh water be the northern border. And there's a lot of communities in Wisconsin that are really suffering from CAFOs. It is insane that in Kewaunee County, which is the poster child for everything that's wrong with the CAFO permitting process, 30% of the wells are polluted. They have third world water conditions in Wisconsin, and it's the DNR is still permitting. So our hope is, and what I would ask all you guys to do is, in Bayfield County, we have, like I said, we've got a big alley in Lake Superior, and we need everyone here to dial into what we're doing up at Farms Not Factories, because we're, Glenn Stoddard's developed a really fantastic ordinance that would change the way CAFOs are regulated in this country. There was a Supreme Court case called the Adams case that was decided in 2012. The majority opinion says we know that you can't, states or excuse me, counties can't regulate siting, but they can regulate operations. And it needs to be done in a very particularly careful way because, you know, the government and legal system likes to make everything complicated. But it is something that could really change things for us. And what we need is, we need two things. We need to provide political cover for our county supervisors based everywhere in our state government, and we need to have citizen engagement. Because I, at the end of this fight, when we keep the Reich's guy in Iowa, I don't want to see him go to a county where they don't have Lake Superior as their ally. I don't want him to go anywhere in this state. And we have to, the house that we're trying to build is a house built on we the people. The house that says, this is what we believe. We're staying on this line of values, this line of things that we hold dear, and you're not going to move us. Because that house is a house that has a wonderful foundation. The House of Cards has been built by all the cash that flows oh so freely in our state house. That house can be toppled, but it needs to be toppled with people that say no. And we don't have to say much more than no, because that whole, we just need to stand up, stand together, and figure out what's going on as we move forward together. And so that's all. And if you should go see our little booth over there, we have T-shirts for sale that are really great. We have this at the water drop, and it said, "The world is more thirsty for water than hungry for cheap bacon," which I know. When that came out of my mouth, I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, that's awesome. And this great design firm in Madison named Cricket Design did the logo for us. So definitely support them too. But it is true. I mean, the world's thirsty, right? Look what's happening in California. So that's, we have a big job cut out for us. But the epic stories that make up the beautiful part of humanity are never the easy battles. They're the battles that are predicated in sacrifice and loss and nobility and hard, hard struggle. And that's, we're lucky to be engaged in this right now, because we're going to change things for the people that are coming after us. So that's it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mary. And what's your website?
Farmsnotfactories.com.
Farmsnotfactories.com. But go over and get a cool T-shirt, too. So, okay, so we've heard about the CAFO or factory farm fight, and Mary mentioned that Kewaunee County is suffering with a very large concentration of factory farms also. And there are fights all around the state around the factory farm issue. So, you know, keep an eye out for those. Midwest Environmental Advocates is active in many of those. Wisconsin Farmers Union is crafting a vision for an agriculture that we can say yes to while we fight the brush fires in all of our local areas. So now we have the opportunity to hear from two local activist citizens that are fighting the frac sand mining issue. And so we're going to start out with Luann Robbie from Buffalo County. And she's going to share with us what they've been doing in her local area.
Hello. Please bear with me a little bit. I was terrified of public speaking for many years, but my love of the area I live in was more important than my fear, and that's how I ended up here today. We have a number of passionate, dedicated people who've worked hard to protect our areas in western Wisconsin. Some of us have done better than others. It's been a long, successful fight in some areas and a long, devastating fight in other areas. In my county, we had a strong core group of people, who'd moved into the area, and local people that worked hard together to educate their neighbors, to bring out the issues, to attend hearings, to literally fight with our own county board to protect the area. It's made a huge difference. We now have nine new members on our county board. Most of our board quit, and that left the door open for us to take advantage of it. Unfortunately, we have a good board. We're redoing our zoning ordinance now. We've passed an ordinance to protect the Great River Road along in that area. One of the issues that helped us protect our area was paying attention to logistics. And key to that is protecting the Great River Road, where we have the rail all along there, because they ship thousands and thousands of rail cars full of this toxic, flammable oil product down the Mississippi. And in order for the frac sand companies to be viable, they have to be nearby rail. We were able to prevent rail spurs along the Great River Road in Buffalo County prior to the new board getting on. Now that we have a new board, we've passed the zoning ordinance that limits truck traffic. And we can't technically regulate state traffic. We had a letter from the state and everything else. It's been quite a contentious battle. But we have protected the Great River Road in our county, as has Pepin County, and that shuts down the possibility of rail spurs. So there are a number of ways to fight this. We've had people that have sued the frac sand companies. We've educated people. I had a booth at the county fair until I got on the county board that explained to people what the risks were with the frac sand industry. And it's amazing who you run into. I met a farmer and his son, and the next thing you know, he was in his township educating people and working against frac sand mining invading his beautiful area in Trumbull County. A little while later, I'm down at the state capitol for the mining bill. Here he is in my senator's office. It's amazing what one person can do sometimes, and I'm just one of many. A number of us in the area have worked with people we never dreamed we didn't work with, because it's not just progressives who love their homes. And when this issue hits home, people will work with their neighbors. When you make it about issues, it really makes a difference. I guess that's all I have to say.
I'm going to actually, Lou Ann, would you tell us, just so folks who maybe haven't been out there and seen any of these mines, maybe just like how big areas are they buying up for the frac sand mines? Or is Bonnie going to do that? Okay. So now we're going to pass the mic to Bonnie Vance, who's working in Jackson County, also on frac sand mining issues.
Hi, can you hear me? I'm Bonnie Vance. I live in Jackson County, the town of Cleveland. This is our town here. I tell folks that I live so far out of town, I'm not really sure what town I'm out of. And that seems to be a common thread for frac sand and where they head. I'd also like to tell you that I'm not really Democrat or Republican, and that I believe wholeheartedly that politics is vertical, and it's called local government. We are being threatened right now in Jackson County, Trumbull County, Eau Claire County, 14 counties in this state with silica sand extraction. To me, the threat, as my husband says, it's the industrialization of rural Wisconsin. And we all know that that is something we value a great deal, our rural environments. My borders also make it very difficult for our community in that we have Eau Claire to the north, the town is unzoned, Clark to the east, which is a totally unzoned county, and Trumbull County is a giant leap this direction, and unfortunately for them, they have non-metallic sand mining as a conditional use under agriculture, and there has been very little that they can do. The town of Cleveland is unique for two reasons. First of all, this is in our first approach by a mining company. 15 years ago, copper sulfide mining threatened us. It was the same company that was in Ladysmith, the largest in the world. They were going to harvest at 1,500 feet copper sulfide, not anywhere near the richness as Ladysmith, because that was at the Precambrian layer was very high. In our town, we are not glaciated. We actually sit on the last glacier's terminal moraine, which is called the Driftless Area. And if you see these geological colors, this area has all been glaciated. And where we are, the orange is the sand that they want. It's called the Wanawak layer, and we're just the beginning. If you were to go into the Geological Survey website, you would see that a third of the state is the sand. We are kind of just rural people. We have a population of around 300 people. We have forests and recreation and agriculture. But the thing that we learned 15 years ago is that we sit on close to the second highest point in the state, and that water at the top of our hill flows in four different directions. In fact, it's the headwaters for two rivers. So the people 15 years ago got very interested in water, to say the least. For a 1,500-foot shaft mine, the threat was a cone of depression that would dewater us a five-mile radius. That pretty much takes in our groundwater. So we got smart real fast, and I do mean fast. We got educated. We elected board members. And 15 years ago, we were able to understand all of the things that we put in place 4 years ago here. We learned that vigilance counted. We needed to be of the most important thing that we have is called the comprehensive plan. And if any of you have been involved in this process, it's statewide. All counties, all towns were required to have this. But the town of Cleveland is unique in that, and I can't say there are no other towns that have this situation, but we are under county zoning, and we have a comprehensive plan that says we do not want heavy industry. So anytime anyone comes to apply for a rezone, anyone, unless this plan is changed, will be liable. We have had a dig and haul operation come here. We've had a transload facility, which they were going to bring sand from Trempealeau County. We have over 1,000-acre plant processing, transload, dig operation on this side of the town. And the common thread is the rail. They know the rail is what's important, and we hold the key. They cannot get in the town of Cleveland. We have denied them three times. And that's only because we have people who are educated enough to help our elected officials. We have petitioned. We have crafted resolutions. We have gone to every single conditional use public hearing, rezone public hearing. We have been active in our community. But the number one thing I think that has made our community all come together, and that was a newsletter that we published quarterly. The newsletter drew people in because we drew on history. We made them aware of important dates, but we educated them. We talked about water quality, water quantity, wetlands. We talked about air. We talked about, you know, the effect of industrialization in a community who values dark nights and quiet days. And the people started to understand. We started a group called Neighbors First. This is us. And that was an extension of a core group that had done a lot of the statute research. We also wanted to have a big voice, so we got involved with area groups all over the state so that we're networked digitally. We were, I believe, influenced some of the legislation that was put down to take away local control. We've produced brochures, we've written letters to the editor, we've run ads, we've elected candidates to the county, and we've elected candidates to the local. The DNR public hearings we've gone to, we have been participated in the Conservation Congress. In fact, brought forth a resolution that was entered into many counties, and MEA was a part of that as well, to ask for a strategic analysis by the DNR. We also elected a representative from our area to sit on the Conservation Congress, and we participated in the public hearings of sort to give some input as to exactly what is going to happen if this large-scale industry eradicates a third of the state. This is not going away. The sand is here. Anyone thinks that because gas prices are low, it's going to go away, you're wrong. They just bought 1,000 acres in our 80 acres in our town for $2 million. This is not unsupported financially. We are fighting a lot of money. We also crafted a survey that we sent out to all the neighbors and asked them to actually get a better opinion on what we were concerned about in the protecting of our rural character. But then after that, after we had done all the education, then we went door to door, neighbor to neighbor. And we divided up our neighborhood and we petitioned with the questions that were very specific, if I only could find them. I don't know what I did with them. But they were specific in that, do you want frac sand mining? Do you want heavy industry in our rural community? Do you understand the health, safety, and welfare and how that's going to impact what we value? The reasons we had made the sacrifices, generations of people live where we live. Others like my husband and I chose to live here. We want to not have industry. We want to have it peace and quiet. So I guess in closing, actually there were a lot more things I should say, but I only had 12 minutes and I'm having a hard time. The April election was pivotal, and I was going to start out saying, can you imagine that in a town of 300, close to 300, that nearly 300 people voted in the April election? And the reason they voted was because of this contentious neighbor-to-neighbor issue. Supervisor 1 lost by 3 votes. Supervisor 2 a few more, and the clerk by 4 votes. And so we went into a recount. The recount showed that there were no errors in the ballots, but the truth is recounts are not about errors in ballots. They're about throwing out ballots, if you've never been through it. It's not nice. But it's the way politics goes, and we found that they would not take any testimony. Our canvassing board, which is where the recount starts, would not take testimony as to our concerns about the validity of 49 absentee ballots that have been cast at the clerk's house. Wow. Now, unfortunately, the clerk also was running for a supervisor position, and his son was running for clerk. After one whole day of testimony, the circuit court ruled that none of those votes would have changed if the election had been somewhere else. So now, and the dollars are adding up, you can only imagine, we are at the appellate level. We still have no town board. We have one seated town chairman who has been given a stipulation and order by the circuit court. We could take that stuff down, actually. That would save you a bit. All he can do is pay bills since April. He is not to, you know, issue any rezones or any conditional use. But the county somehow, I don't know what's going on. We're flabbergasted, I guess is the best word. They went ahead and rezoned for the transload facility. They went ahead and granted a conditional use and no input from the town. So presently, Neighbors First is at another level of litigation. We've just filed, and Mr. Glenn Stoddard is our attorney, just filed a summons and complaint against Jackson County. Because at the last conditional use meeting, the comment, not official, but heard, was that this will be in the courts. And so there we are. Now, the one other thing that I would like you all to know is that just Friday, a piece of legislation was brought forth that is going to take away or give the power, I shouldn't say take away, give the power to towns to get out of their comprehensive plans. So again, pivotal, who sits on this board? Are they going to uphold for local control? And I'll let you know, the story goes on. Do I have a minute for a poem to read?
A poem, definitely a poem.
In just a minute, we're going to have some question and answers, and if we don't have time, come over and see me. I'll be at that booth. This poem I wrote in one of my darker moments early on, and it's called The Last Garden of Eden, or Silica Sand Mine. To those of us that live in the hills of west central Wisconsin, our pristine environment represents heaven on earth. Yes, this analogy may be a stretch, but the truth is, relatively to the world around, this is our Garden of Eden. We are privileged to experience daily what most folks will never know nor understand. If you stand looking west from the high ground of Neillsville, north from Toma, or south from Menominee, these hills take your breath away. Each season has renewed joy at the possibilities of what they hold. The sound of quiet we enjoy is the stuff made fun of in automobile advertisements. Quiet, how can that be measured when noise is generated 10 miles away, and yet the hum of a bee and the flutter of wings interrupts our train of thought. Air so clean, the smell of fresh plowed earth is sweet. The scent of manure is the worst we endure, not the stench of vehicles or smokestacks. Sky so blue, one might think it's juice from a berry and stars too many to count. The water, where to begin? Artesian springs feed streams that are waters for four rivers that flow in all directions, so fresh and pure that to meet safe drinking water standards set by the DNR, the town of Cleveland's groundwater would need to be polluted. Our transcendental philosophy, simplicity of nature and simplicity of life and harmony of nature, our Garden of Eden is once again threatened. The sweet apple has been held out to our neighbors and friends. As at the beginning of time, for some, this apple is too good to resist. Not that we should judge our neighbors, nor even consider our own personal loss in this discussion, but the big picture. Bite by bite, in a blink of an eye, man has found his power and purpose by systematically eradicating the Garden of Eden. We all have the right to value this world. I, for one, have had this privilege for over 25 years, and I continue to persevere in my attempts to preserve this place. But unless the people in charge see what will be lost forever, so too will my corner of paradise. Lost to rezoning and M2 industrial extraction of silica sand. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your journey and the poem. We're going to take some time with the panel here to kind of think about at the local level, what do they consider the kind of most strategic things that they need at the local level? We heard some different lists of things that they've tried, things that have worked and not worked. So we want to spend a little bit of time on that and then a little time on what you can do to focus back in on that. So I'm just going to go down the line. So Yeah, you can take that, Mike, if you want. So, Mary, in your fight in Bayfield against the 26,000 hog operation, what is the kind of most strategic or thing that you are doing at the local level?
I think the most important thing is to figure out who your local supervisors are. Get to know them, send them emails. You know, it's important to go to the meetings and do your three-minute comment period, but I think it's more important to develop a relationship with them if you can, if they're amenable to what you have to say, and figure out when they're up for re-election. Because they're not appointed, they're elected. That's a very important distinction. And we, as citizens, have rights to to do an open records request. If you have a question about, is the state sending my supervisors information about the moratorium we passed? It's within our right as citizens to file an open records request. And in doing that sort of thing, you have to learn the rules of the game and then play every chance you have. Because if you hear all the time, well, there's rules, they can't do that. You know, the state's going to protect us, or if so-and-so is going to protect us. Well, so we know that's not true, right? Because we see some anecdotal, I think, true evidence that it's not true. But you have to hold them accountable to what they've been elected and appointed to do. So that means know how the DNR is doing their gig, figure out how the process works, and then constantly be interacting and have everyone in your community, back to the whole silver bullet thing, do not just wait for the person that you see that you think is, you know, doing the social media and showing up in the meetings and handing out postcards at an event. This whole thing rests in all of our laps because it goes back to, I truly believe in we the people. It sounds really, you know, Pollyanna-ish, but the mechanisms are still there. The mechanisms exist in representative democracy for us to participate, and we have to exhaust all of those remedies because this story is going to be told not through the lens of we came out swinging. It's going to be told through the lens of they pushed us too far. And that is a really important thing to remember. And so I say in Bayfield, we're interacting with the regulatory and legislative branches as much as we possibly can. And showing up and doing, you know, this, selling our t-shirts and coming up with bumper stickers. I mean, that kind of stuff works as well. Come up with a snappy little logo. That's what we did. But I think that's it. And just constantly don't give up. You know, I was at a meeting the other day with a guy that used to work for Big Oil. And he was in Washington, D.C. And one of their methods is build it and they will leave. We're the ones they want to leave. But what happens if we don't? What if we just say no? I mean, I know it sounds kind of simplistic. I'm the mother of five kids. I'm used to saying no and expecting people to listen to me. And what's wrong with that? Why do we have to treat adults any different? So when they act like children. So that's what I have to say.
I would say pay attention to local elections. In Buffalo and Trempealeau counties, we got rid of most of the bad guys. And we really got rid of some bad guys. In Trempealeau County, they had a supervisor who went to the state to testify in favor of the SB 349, which would rid us or take care of local control or take it away from us. He testified on behalf of that. He wrote letters to the editor. He's not in county government anymore. Citizens have worked together to make this happen. In the town of Preston, the town officials made sure they have way too many frac sand mines in the Blair area. Those people are gone. In the town of Arcadia, they have almost an entirely new town board. This is Trempealeau County. In the city of Arcadia, a write-in candidate won over an incumbent. These issues are changing things for people, and it's people like you and I that step up and run for office, get out there and educate our neighbors. That's how it's happening. And I would encourage people to make others aware and be very aware of when local offices, when you gather nomination signatures, which is in December, and the elections follow in April. This coming December will be when we need to get this done. We have a good board in Buffalo County now. We're going to have to run again. We're redoing our zoning ordinance. That'll take a couple years. And I know that the frac sand people are going to be right there fighting with us. When I ran for office, my opponent had a whole page on CCAP. He didn't know the difference between fracking and frac sand. just unreal. And they put a lot of money into him. He had signs, he had weeks on end ads, quarter page ads in the local papers. I could afford two small ads. I got a small donation from a local union, and Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters sent out two flyers for me. And then my local people in one of the townships, who were outraged by the sand mine people, went to bat for me. And that's how I got in office, and it was only a 10-point difference. I mean, we had huge turnout, but it was only that much difference. I lost in my own township. But it was the people in the frac sand township who got out there and really worked their butts off, and me too. But, you know, these local elections matter. We passed the ordinance. I'm on the zoning committee, and we're working on our zoning. This needs to be done. Our zoning hasn't been redone in 50 years. And our county's gone from being backwards to doing a lot of, I shouldn't say that, but we're doing a lot of good things. We're making a difference, and it's local elections, because we can't fight it on the state level very well right now, but we are fighting at the local level, and so it's important.
Is it on? Okay. Yeah. One thing, big punch. Educate your neighbors and allow them to have an opinion, but keep your fingers crossed.
I missed it because I was talking to him. So, good. The band is getting ready to play in a couple minutes here. So, we've got 2 minutes left. So, we know that these fights are happening at the local level, and our rural citizen friends are fighting hard. Raise your hand if you live in a rural community. All right, good. Okay, we're represented here. So we all know how it is to come in disagreement with your neighbors in rural areas. It's a slightly different, has a different flavor to it than perhaps in urban areas. Now I just want to pass the mic through again. We've heard a little bit about what you folks can all do to help them out, but I'm going to give them one more chance for their ask. We're not going to do Q&A here, but again, all of us are over in the second row over with information tables, so we welcome folks to come over there and continue the conversation. I know that we have other people in the audience here that are fighting their own fights, so please come over and let's all talk and you know, make sure we can be strategic together, because we know that the local control issue is the one that goes across all these fights and these brush fires. So we need to have the resources to have people be able to fight the brush fires, but we also need to think at the next level up as what we can do together. So I'm going to pass the mic back and forth. One ask you have of the assembled crowd.
I would just ask that you go to our website, farmsnotfactories.com, and take a look at what we're doing, because we're not saying anything unique. We're our voice, our ask, which is help us protect our homes, help us protect our community from outside extractive industry. You all have the same asks and the same issues in your community, and we need to get out of our silos, because this whole thing is, the game is rigged. They keep us all chasing our tails. And what happens if we all decide we're going to join forces and see what happens? And so just, I would ask that you show up, look at my stuff, see where it fits into the stuff in your community, and let's start talking and busting down these silos so we the people can see each other.
Again, I would emphasize local elections. Bonnie mentioned the big money involved in this. High Crush in Tremplo County is part of Halliburton. We have Enron Oil and Gas up in Chippewa. But on the local level, with comprehensive planning and zoning and our boards, we still can fight these people off. So it's very important to pay attention who represents you locally and get involved in the elections. In December, we need to get good people to step up and run. And maybe that's yourself. Thank you.
Well, a lesson we learned 15 years ago, the thing that stopped metallic mining was a moratorium that was put in place. That is a very big voice. And I look at all of you and I see my network. I ask you to get linked up with any one of us, keep informed, and send it out to your network, because that is our big voice. People need to know that the stuff that's going on is going to hurt us all, even if you live in Madison and Milwaukee. And unfortunately, they're the ones who make the choices.
Thanks. So I appreciate everyone being here and sharing with us. So the band is going to play now. Let's give a big hand for our citizens that came down to share with us today.